Pacifico, Bill Henry.
Hey, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. It's a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Now, we had another rehearsal this evening, one last night, for our forthcoming one-man show. And for those of you familiar with our radio show, you would expect, and you would be right, that much of what goes into our one-man show is going to be going, much of what goes into our radio show would be going into the one-man show, and you're right about that. We're several months away, but I'd like to keep you guys updated on this, as I do my BSPs, as I do, you know, everybody that has any interest in any of this. So we had a terrific rehearsal last night, and it's really going to be exciting. I hope that you stay with us as we kind of update you on how this is going. And one of the ways to stay with us and be a part of the updates is to join us over on our Facebook page, our Facebook fan page, which is facebook.com/PhilHendryFans, P-H-A-N-S. And you'll know it because it'll say Facebook official page. Okay. You can also go over to Twitter at twitter.com/RealPhilHendry or get a backstage pass, which is the best way, because during our pre-shows here, 45 minutes of a pre-show every night, and during the breaks, we keep our backstage pass guys up to date on what's happening. As a matter of fact, I want to start doing a BSP of the week thing, bud. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you'd give away like a prize.
What are you going to give away?
Well, give away, I don't know, give away something good.
Don't give away nothing too good, because it costs too much.
Well, no, I'm talking about for the BSPs, okay?
He's talking about people that are actually subscribing to his website. It should be nice.
Yeah, but they already get it. I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Oh, take it easy, okay, will you there, president of the World Bank? We'll be fine. Anyway, we're going to start announcing our BSP of the week very shortly. Like, how about tomorrow?
That's perfect, because it's Friday, and people can get to the bank. And in case you have a last-minute change of heart and decide to charge them.
Oh, so even... I'm not going to charge them anything. Don't worry about it. If you're a BSP of the week, although it's not a... If you'd like to be BSP of the week, send us a $10... I'm kidding. All right, so send us a money order. Care of the Phil Hendry Show. So anyway, we'll be doing that. Probably do that tomorrow night. What do you think of that? It's a good idea. So there's that. And there's just all loads of fun and jollies to be had. Check out our shop, by the way. We have the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodies. Oh, I know what I was going to tell you. We talked rather seriously, and we are 80% to the point, yes, in time for Christmas, we're going to have Milwaukee Lion gear.
Bitchin'!
You know, like a Milwaukee Lion shirt and stuff?
Yes. We're going to have at least we'll have a Milwaukee Lion jersey for you to buy in anticipation of the Dickman Bowl, which, of course, is New Year's Eve, bud, right?
Yeah, they're going to have a Dickman Bowl on a New Year's Eve.
That's what he just said, man.
Yeah, just...
Why would you have... What is it, Milwaukee Lion? I don't understand that.
That's the team that we have. That's the team that Jack I. Gagner...
Oh, that bastard.
Well, you know, Margaret. So anyway, we're going to probably have at least one item of Milwaukee Lion gear in our shop before the holidays end, so you know, I don't know how quickly we can get all of this done, but I suspect fairly soon, and that way we'll have it there, and we'll even get it mailed out for at least the early people, people who order early, will get it to you in time for Christmas. Okay, that is my fervent hope. But as many of you know, much a slip between the cup and lip, you know.
What does that mean?
What is that?
What does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Much a slip between a cup and a lip.
Yeah.
It means that between the point where you pour the liquid into the cup and you get it to your mouth to drink, there are a lot of things that can go wrong.
Much a slip between a cup and a lip.
I know, yeah, but...
Don't tell me you don't understand that.
No, I understand it now. But you just go fast, you know?
Yeah, you need to slow down. Like with the time you said Rome wasn't built in a day.
Uh-huh.
Just slow it down.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So do you understand what Rome wasn't built in a day means?
Now I do, yeah. But the last time you did it, he went, Rome wasn't built in a day. And I'm like, what?
Okay, so what don't you get about that?
No, I get it now.
Well, what didn't you get about it at the time?
Well, when you say Rome wasn't built in a day, okay, I understand. But it has no meaning for my life or the personal life of me or anybody I know.
Yeah, I have no connection to anything relevant to me either.
It did, really... So, but you guys understand what it means now.
Sorta.
Rome wasn't built in a day, you sorta get.
Why do you even waste the time? Do you understand that you could have Jack Chanel, Terry Gibbon, all of the people that I've recommended, and instead...
Margaret, will you just... Rome wasn't built in a day. It means that any project that one would undertake, if you are going to become, if you're going to get a degree in medicine, if you're going to go and build a motorcycle, bud, if you're going to do anything, anything great takes a while to build, takes a while to conceive and to create.
Yeah, no, see, that's what we thought.
Yeah.
Great. San Diego man was arrested for porn linked to bomb plot. A San Diego man who was arrested on child pornography charges. Now, this is a great double whammy to have on your record, isn't it? Child pornography and, oh yeah, bombs. He's been linked to the Bangladeshi man who's accused of plotting to blow up the New York Federal Reserve in Lower Manhattan. The New York Times, citing an unidentified law enforcement official, reported yesterday that Howard Willie Carter II was an accomplice of Kwasi Muhammad Reznawal Astan Kulu Bala Tutu.
Phil, don't do that.
I don't care, okay? I don't give a damn. When the guy gets important enough, I'll pronounce his name.
Yeah, man, that's my feeling. Hey!
Why are you promoting that kind of racism?
It's not racism. When the guy gets important enough...
You don't think that's important?
I think it's important. I think it's serious that there's been a bomb threat, and I'm sure that as this ass remains in the news, I'll get his name right, okay? Right now, I ain't getting his name right. How about that? Right now, he's some Bangladeshi guy. Anyway, Kwasi Muhammad Jackass. How's that?
Yeah!
Oh, God.
Anyway, Kwasi Muhammad Carter's computer contained emails addressed to Rakeen, a name Brooklyn prosecutors said Carter used in the bomb plot. Nafis, that's his name, okay? Kwasi Muhammad Reznawal Nafis, okay? Nafis was arrested October 17th in an undercover effort that he attempted to detonate what he believed to be a 1,000-pound bomb, according to the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force, located at 33 Liberty Street. The bank is just a few blocks from the site of the former Twin Towers, which were destroyed, as you know, in 2001. Carter is charged with receipt and possession of images of minors engaged in sexually explicit conduct, according to U.S. Attorney Laura Duffy in San Diego. He was arrested October 17th by the FBI. He's held pending a detonation. So his computer contained emails addressed to this slob, this Yakin ass, the guy that did the bomb job. The FBI, conducting surveillance in the vicinity of Carter's apartment, found a computer and hard drive in a dumpster in the parking lot of the apartment building. Now, let that be a lesson. You know, throwing away your computer does not get rid of it. Bud?
Yeah, I got to keep that in mind.
Exactly.
You too.
Right, we all do. I don't have anything on my computer that I got to worry about. The hard drive, which was traced back to Carter, contained more than 1,000 images and 3 video files containing child pornography. Daryl Foxworth, an FBI spokesman, said in an email yesterday the agency isn't confirming or denying. You know, if you have a computer and you've got you take it and you throw it in the garbage, it doesn't mean it's gone forever going into a landfill and no one will ever again find out all the nasty, dirty, filthy things that you did on your computer.
How do you get rid of it?
I don't know. I don't think you can. I think it stays on there for... Well, let's find out. I'm just joking around about that. Let's find out. We can get on our computer expert here, whoever that may be, Jeff Dowder. Who's good with computers?
Well, I'm going to go through the Rolodex and see if I can find out.
Okay. In any event, this is a serious case. And I was talking before we went on the air to Dan about my former brother-in-law who was in the insurance business, who was insuring a house in San Diego. And he was insuring the house on behalf of the owner of the house. And the owner of the house was very happy to have insurance on his house. But you see, while these two gentlemen were negotiating the insurance for this house, the owner of the house wasn't living there. He was renting that house. But he was, in fact, doing his due diligence and getting insurance for the structure, etc. Well, guess what? While they are figuring out how they're going to insure this house, the tenant, the person living in the house that had rented the house from the owner, has in that house so many explosives, so many bombs, so many drug-sniffing dogs, helicopters, that you will not believe in your wildest hallucinations.
Isn't that from The Gauntlet?
Yeah, I'm just kidding around with that. But no, it had so many bombs, so much explosive stuff in there, that when the police eventually arrested this guy, found out what was in this house, this guy had explosives, I believe, and I, if I'm remembering the story properly, they didn't want to risk the lives of the bomb squad officers or the other personnel it would take to go in and remove all this stuff, let alone transport it to wherever they got to transport it to blow it up. They just blew the house up.
They blew the guy's whole house up?
Yeah. They just said, we're not going to go in and chance anybody's life. We're blowing the house up, if I'm not mistaken. And so, can you imagine that? And you own the house, right?
And the man had no insurance on the house.
Yeah, was he getting insurance?
I guess that was it. Or maybe he was changing his insurance. I can't imagine. The bank's not going to let you have, unless the house was paid for, but no bank that's carrying the paper on a house is going to allow you to have the, you know, sit in a house that isn't insured. So perhaps he was changing the insurance policy or something. But yeah, to blow this thing right off of its foundation, and to be honest, I don't know what the law says, what recompense there is for a homeowner. Well, how do you get back? What, you know, if you're a victim of crime, there are limited options that you have, you know.
Well, the civil law provides, though.
The civil law provides for, you know, suing and getting money from the families, etc. But getting money for the families of the victims. But it doesn't necessarily mean you're never going to, for instance, in the case of a murder, never get back the value of someone's life, you know.
Joe J. What's his name? Joe J.
Who's Joe J?
The man that killed the woman that was the big.
Talking about OJ?
OJ, yeah.
You don't know the name O.J. Simpson?
I'm not a football fan, Phil.
Well, you don't have to be a football fan. That was the biggest story of the decade. That was the biggest story of the last 20 years.
I don't think so. I think among football fans it was.
Well, you're wrong. All right, so let's take a break. We'll be back on the Phil Henry Show. We'll get on our computer expert to talk a little bit about how to get rid of a computer. How do you throw away a computer? If you've got a bunch of child porn on there, and you've got a bunch of nasty, dirty, filthy images that you don't want anyone to see, you don't want people to know that you were surfing these websites late at night, is there any way at all, of getting rid of those images? Or are you stuck with them, and will you eventually be arrested? It's only a matter of time. We'll be back to find out.
Cut it out, will you?
I'm joking. We'll be right back to find out here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
His name is Joe J.
No, it's not Joe J. It's OJ.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Now, welcome back to the world famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. In a moment, we're going to connect out to Ted's of Beverly Hills because Ted's in, obviously, he runs a business, and perhaps that's the best possible guy.
Yeah, I think so.
To go to when it comes to asking about computers. And again, to that end, we're asking because this guy that was arrested by the FBI as being an associate of this individual who was arrested for the bomb plot. This dumbass was out there he was throwing away a computer, and here's Ted now. Ted, let's get him on the line.
Hey, Phil.
Hey, Ted, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for thinking of me when you've got a little bit of a problem. I thought I'd be here on a regularly scheduled set. We're still on for tomorrow night, though, right?
We're still on for tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, of course, is our Ted's of Beverly Hills segment. Ted, question.
If I'm on right now, and I know we're on for tomorrow, I know, hold on for a minute, I got to slow down a little bit. I know that we're on for tomorrow night. Because we're on for tomorrow night, I guess my question is, do we still get, am I only going to do this segment here? What's the story, I guess, the question I have is, what is the story with the commercial endorsement aspect to all of this? If you could give me a little heads up on that, I'd appreciate that.
What do you mean?
Well, do I get a commercial here?
That I just called you up?
Well, yeah, well, I mean, you just called me up, and I understand. I'm happy to do it, and I'm happy to answer any questions you have, but technically I'm an advertiser. Now you have me on the air. Is this free?
My thinking was it's like a promotional appearance. In other words, if you come on with me now, it promotes you being on the show tomorrow night, and you're sort of helping us out. It shows a little side to Ted Bell.
All right. So, but I don't think you're directly answering my question, but I guess if I were to interpret what you're saying, the answer to that is I don't get a commercial plug here.
Well, I believe that with you being on the air right now and saying, hi, I'm Ted Bell, Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Well, I haven't said that. I, in fact, I don't know if you've said it.
Yes, we have. We've said we're going to get Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills on.
That's all right, but what I'm saying, and I don't want to make a big thing out of it, Bill. I'm very happy to be on the air with you, and I'll do whatever I can to answer your questions, but that's technically it's not using my commercial, and it's not using the...
You're right about that.
Yeah, so in other words, you're not using the produced commercial, and as a result of you not using the produced commercial, I don't want to make a big thing out of it. It's fine.
I mean, in order for me to put your commercial on the air, I've got to log it as commercial time. And if I log it as commercial time, that means that the entire interview.
All right.
I got to get clearance for that from the guy that runs our sales, David G. Hall. Otherwise, he's going to come down on me because we're only allowed a certain number of minutes of commercials an hour.
Well, I don't know what any of that means. What you're basically telling me is that I'm working for free tonight.
You don't have to be on the air at all.
I have to be on the... What does that mean?
Well, no, what I'm saying is I'm happy to have you on the air. The only reason why I called you up, Ted, is to get information on computers.
No, I know why you called me up. I got filled in by this guy, the kid that you have, Dickman. I'm trying to find out, do I get a commercial here or not?
If you want a commercial, you can...
You just told me I can't.
I didn't say that. I've got to get approval.
All right, well, I'm here. You're there, you know.
Okay.
Why you?
Excuse me, I'm hearing someone else talking.
It's Margaret Gray.
Ted, this is Margaret. I'm simply saying, and I don't have anything against you personally, but I said to Phil, why use you then? Why not just get someone else?
Well, I think we're beyond that now. He's got me on the air. He's been talking to me. If he doesn't use me now, then it makes, and of course we're talking about this, the audience hears everything we're saying. This is very unfortunate.
All right, let's just lessen. There's no damage being done here.
No, but the question still remains. He doesn't have to use you.
I'm not going to hang up now because then I look in the eyes of the audience. I look like a big baby.
Well?
Well, what?
Hold on. He's not a big baby. Ted's asking a question.
Phil, this started out simply you wanted to call him up and say, will you help us with the answer to a question?
And I'm very happy to do that, Ms. Gray.
All right, fine. Then why don't you do it? Why are you haggling over commercial time?
Because I've got a contract with the station that says I do a commercial segment. Now Henry's got me on the air asking me about things, and...
Well, Margaret's point then, not to embarrass you, Ted, was then why should I even have you on the air?
Well, you have to have me on the air now, because if you don't use me, then the audience goes, oh, look, they hung up on Ted because either he doesn't know what he's talking about, he's a pain in the ass... I mean, you've put me in a very bad position now.
No, you, Ted, this is Margaret.
No kidding. That's about the fifth time you've said that.
Hold on, Ted, don't be rude.
Well, rude? I'm in the middle of a working night. I've got a restaurant full of people. You called me up and you wanted to get the answer to some question. I'm happy to help. I'm here to help. Okay, great. That's what I've been. That my whole life I've been that. My father needed help. I helped him through not only fixing this restaurant up, I helped my father through his dying days as an alcoholic. And then after my father died, my mother needed help. She had Alzheimer's, so there I was, changing diapers on my own mother. And then my brother, he had problems in his marriage. His business went under. I took him in. I lent him some money. I got him started in another business. Helped him buy another house, helped his kids through school when he was having a hard time. That's me. That's Ted Bell. That's what I do. I bail out other people. No one cares about me. Now, you understand?
Ted, I think Phil needs to hang up on you, and here's why. I think you're having some kind of an episode where you need medication.
Oh, I don't need any. You know what? Women like you, you know, all of you new age, damn you to hell.
Whoa, man.
Yeah, that man is in trouble.
Wow.
Yeah, I've never in my whole life never heard a guy go that way.
Woo. Yeah, he is having a hard time.
Yeah, I think he's got a psychological problem or something.
Yeah, more than a psychological problem. His brain
There's something definitely wrong with him. I'm going to call him back.
Don't. You're going to piss him off.
No, I know how to talk to him.
All right, we'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
World-famous Phil Henry Show, and welcome back. And we are very, very, very proud to say...
Steakhouse, come on down.
Hey, come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. Ted's of Beverly Hills. I said Ted's of Beverly Hills. I don't know that has been the best use of a commercial announcement, Phil, given the fact that we had this disagreement. I'm sorry. But, Phil, I want to tell you something. The worst mistake the Germans ever made in World War II was the massacre at Malmedy of the American GIs. Because you know what that happened? What happened after that is when the other American soldiers found out that there had been 80 GIs murdered by the Germans, that stiffened their resolve. So they decided they were not going to surrender. They were going to continue to fight. And it was a big mistake. Now, what has that got to do with what we're talking about now? When you... pull my pants down in front of everybody.
Ted.
Hold on, I'm not done yet. When you grab my pants and pull them down in front of everybody, that stiffens my...
your penis?
Good night.
Why did you do that?
Well, what are you... get out of here!
Wait a minute, get out of here!
Unbelievable.
Man, I can't believe he did that.
Now you got to call him back and calm him down. And this jackass, Bud, it stiffened my...
Don't say it again.
I didn't say it the first time. And whoever told him he has the right to do that?
I didn't do it, man. I think he'd been listening to a lot of shows like Howard Stein and everybody.
Howard Stein. You mean Howard Stern?
That's the one. That's the one that has caused the problem. Have you heard the Howard... have you listened to the Howard... what is it?
Stern. Howard Stern, I'm sorry.
Howard Stern.
Have you heard Howard Stern?
Yeah.
Well, he's the one that has caused all of this. He's the one that has caused all of these problems. You have these young broadcasters now. They think they can say anything they want. They think they can walk up to people and figuratively or literally pull their pants down, point at their exposed private area and go, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, so what?
So...
what do you mean, so?
Well, look at Margaret. I'm not blaming Howard Stern for this dumbass that we got here, Bud. Okay?
He felt entitled. Do you know what I mean by entitled?
Yes, I know what you mean by entitled. And perhaps he has been influenced by the modern communication style, the modern vernacular, whatever you want to say, the modern communication, the modern language. But the fact of the matter remains, he knows better. Now, have you gotten him back?
No, he's not answering. I'll tell Ted to Beverly Hills, and I'll say, yeah, can I talk to Ted Bell? And they'll go, who's this? And I'll say, it's Robert. And then they'll say, Robert who? And I'll say, I'm Robert Leonard. And they'll say, okay, well, who are you with? And then,
will you get to the point? Are they saying you're from the Phil Henry Show and they won't let you on?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I think you'll have to call.
All we're doing is wasting time, I'll tell you that.
Well, I think that he owes you an apology, that's number one. Number two, if he wants any kind of reclaiming of his commercial and making him look a little bit better than he does, he should go on your program. Number three, he owes me an apology. Number four, I think I owe him an apology. Number five, Bud owes him an apology. Number six, I think in some ways he owes Bud an apology. Now, number seven,
well, you guys, what are you guys, trying to drive me nuts tonight? I get it already.
Well, we're just trying to cover our bases.
We have to cover all the options, Phil.
Okay, fine. There's got to be a way of saying it without listing everything in the world. Hi, this is Robert. Robert who? Robert Leonard. Where are you from? Well, I'm from the radio. Robert, you know, Robert, all I've got to say is Robert Leonard from the Phil Henry Show.
Oh, okay. You want to do it again?
Well, look at dude. Didn't you just do that?
Yeah, but if I do it quicker, maybe they won't have time to say no.
They'll have time to say no.
I'll do it. And just remember, you know, we've got a guy here that is a sensitive guy. He's a hardworking guy. Something's gone wrong here with Ted. We'll find out. I don't know what the hell happened. Jeez. Call him up, will you?
Yeah.
Give me that. Hey, Ted, it's Phil Henry. Hold on, man. I'm talking to you like one guy to another. Whatever I did, whatever I said, I'm sorry, all right? I'm sure that I, you know, you're having a tough time. You want to talk about it? Yeah? Yeah? The what? A guy you were in the army with. And you're stationed in Hawaii. And you guys were... And you got a letter, a blackmail letter? I'm not saying anything. Yeah, but they can't hear your side of the conversation. So you were stationed in Hawaii. I won't say a thing. I want Bud to get on the line here. He wants to apologize. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to Ted Bell. It'll be just a second here. I apologize. Bud, get over here.
I didn't do anything.
You're going to do something now. You're going to say you're sorry. Here.
Yeah. Budley Dickman speaking. Budley L. Dickman? Yeah, Bud Dickman. Yes, sir. Well, Mr. Bell, I want to say I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say the thing that I say. Yeah. And I know it's probably having a hard time, what you're having. Mr. Henry said you're probably having a bad day. Yes, sir. I won't say anything. No, sir. You, when you're in the Army and you're stationed in Hawaii and you had a friend of yours in the Army, okay? Yeah. And the two of you were in a hot tub one night? Oh, okay. One thing led to another. And now he sent a letter to you wanting money? I understand. No, sir. I won't say anything. Yes, sir. Okay, sir. Thanks. Bye. Where's Phil?
Went to the bathroom. Everybody, this is Robert Leonard.
I get to do it. I'm Bud Dickman. And
I'll do it. Phil Henry is in the bathroom right now. Oh, here he is.
Okay. Sorry, guys. I decided to take that moment. I know Bud was...
Yeah, he's okay with it.
He's okay with you?
Yeah.
Okay. And just remember, you don't say anything about...
No, I didn't say nothing. I was on the phone with him, But nobody... no one heard him.
No one heard him, not heard him.
Yeah.
So it was all right. We apologize, folks. Sometimes you don't want to put on the air those one-sided conversations. But in point of fact, sometimes it's necessary. So we're going to get...
I'm going to call him back right now, and I'll have him on the air.
All right, folks, let's try this again. The Phil Henry Show is very, very proud to present Mr. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Hey, everybody, this is Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Man, have we got the pork loin. We've got the all-day roasted prime rib. We've got the porterhouse steak. We got the Kansas City steak. We got every kind of steak. And then some at Ted's of Beverly Hills. Let me tell you something. Your heart won't break when you eat one of our steak. Ted's of Beverly Hills. What do you think of that slogan, Phil?
Say it to me again.
Your heart won't break when you eat one of our steak.
Okay.
Will, what do you mean, okay? That's grammatically incorrect.
Who's that? Is that... Ms. Gray, can I ask a favor of you?
I'm just asking a question. Is it grammatically correct?
Is it grammatically correct? You suspend your disbelief. Ain't you never heard of that?
No, this is not a television show or a movie, Ted. You don't suspend the rules of grammar. You suspend disbelief.
I think she's right, Ted.
Right about what?
Well, I mean, I think when you suspend your disbelief in a movie, but this is a grammatical thing.
You just suspend the disbelief.
Your heart won't break when you eat one of our steak.
Well, what do you think?
It's...
But don't spare my feelings just because we had a little disagreement.
I don't like it.
Really? Well, I do. So I'm keeping it. Next point on the agenda tonight is the fact that you wanted to ask me a question about what, computers?
Yes, I did. I wanted to ask you a question about computers. The question is this. How do you get rid of information on a computer? How do you get rid of... Let's just come right out and say it. In San Diego, you know, they arrested the guy in the bomb plot?
Yeah.
All right. Then they found another guy that they think is associated with this guy who had child porn on a computer that he owned. The way they found this out is they found the computer in a dumpster.
Yeah.
And then the FBI found this computer in a dumpster. The FBI went through the computer and found all this child porn, found emails from this guy to the bomb suspect, put two and two together.
And so they and this guy was trying to cover it up by what? By throwing the computer away?
Yeah, he threw the computer away.
Bad move. Bad move. Wrong move. Wrong move. You're never going to get rid of the computer, the information on the computer, by throwing it away. That is that shows you what you're dealing with there. That guy can't be that bright. One of the things I'm always fascinated with Bill, is the fact that there are guys, the guys involved in these bomb plots and the Al-Qaeda and all of them, they're about the dumbest people, you know, when it comes to covering their tracks and everything else. I was fortunate enough to get rid of emails. You know, I've received over the years a great many. People are jealous of me, and they threaten me, and they do a lot of things, and I've been able to get rid of some of these emails. Not that I haven't first turned them over to the authorities, but I don't want them in my computer. And
well, do the authorities just take the drive?
Sometimes they do. They just want copies. And sometimes it's just, so I got rid of, this last couple of weeks, I was able to get rid of some email that I received, and no one will ever, ever, ever see it. It's gone forever. I was able to get rid of it. That's the end of that, and I'm very happy. Now, how did I do that? Well, I don't know. You know,
what, Mr. Bell?
Yeah.
Was one of them from that guy in Hawaii?
Okay. Can you
hit the jingle fast?
What?
You better hit that jingle or someone dies. Hit the jingle or someone dies. Now, let me tell you.
Ted's a Beverly Hills Steakhouse.
We'll.
Okay,
we will be right back on the Phil Henry Show. Thank you, Ted. That was great. We'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show.
Back in the bowl before they pulled the chain or jump in after it. This is Ted Bell for Ted's Beverly Hills.
So you're going to have to help me. We also are joined at this particular point in the program.
You're going to say, I think there was a Freudian slip there. It sounded like the broken program, okay?
All right, Ted. You're now telling me, and welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the program. Is David G. Hall there?
Yeah, I'm right here, Phil.
You're telling me you made all that up.
Made it up, absolutely.
Yeah, well, it sounds like it's real to me.
Let me ask both of you idiots a question, okay?
I don't like being called an idiot.
Yeah, let me ask both of you idiots a question, okay? Okay?
Go ahead.
Yeah?
What makes you think that if I was really being blackmailed by a buddy in the Army who I had a homosexual relationship with, I'd lay it on Bud Dickman? That's the thing I can't believe you bought, Phil.
I mean,
Now, what do you mean? You're trying to tell me I'm dumb?
Yes. Yes, that's what I'm trying to tell you. In fact, I'm not trying to tell you. I am telling you.
Well, Ted, I've known you for a lot of years.
Margaret, why don't you just stay out of it, okay? You've already shown your true colors, all right? You're a backstabber. I thought you were a friend of mine.
How was I a backstabber, I'd like to know?
Because you bought it.
Of course I bought it. There was nothing in what you said that would indicate that there was anything made up about any of that.
Well, what? What are you trying to tell me?
Look, Ted, when we came on the air tonight...
No. Hold on. David, take over. Now, Phil, look, Ted is a sponsor of ours. He's already told you that it was made up. Why are you now querying him and questioning him and interrogating him like he's some punk in a police station? Yeah, what do you think, I'm some kind of punk? You think I'm some punk that you're going to sit down and interrogate, huh? But I tell you what, I've been dealing with punks like you all of my life, okay?
I don't need to be called a punk either.
Well, all I'm saying is, What makes you think it's true?
Because when we called...
Don't ask him that. Now he's going to go through the whole history.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to do. When we called him up tonight, we wanted to find out about computers, and we heard a guy that was stressed out. He was yelling at us. He hung up on us.
I wasn't yelling at you. You guys were asking me stupid questions, okay? I was asking you about whether or not my commercial was going to be... If I would... Oh, forget it. You were asking about the compensation of the commercials? Yes.
Oh. Yeah, he wanted to know. I called him up and I said, "Ted, would you answer some questions?" And
no, you didn't ask me that. The other dumbass did.
I'm the guy to talk to, Mr. Bell. No one call me a dumbass.
Well, that's what I'm calling you. And I'm saying that when you were asking me all these questions, I couldn't understand you. I didn't know what was coming out of your mouth, whether they were words, whether you were grunting or belching. I don't know what this guy was talking about.
Well, what didn't you understand?
This guy calls me up and says the following. Hey, Mr. Bell, we want to find out about computers and how to get rid of them. I'm saying, are you serious? He goes, no. And I said, well, then what's the question? He says, no, I mean yes. And I said, so you're serious or you're not? He said, no. So that took another 5 minutes.
Wait. What did you do, Robert?
I got confused. He said to me, and that's when I said to him, I said, yeah. And
what?
Can I just say something?
Go ahead.
What did you ask? Forget about Robert. What was the question?
The question was, how do you get rid of information off of a computer?
Oh, yeah? Why do you want to know that?
Because I'm reading a news story. What do you mean, why do I want to know that? I'm reading a news story.
David, we're dealing with a news story on the bomb suspect in San Diego.
Hey, what are you, Barbara Walters, all of a sudden? I'm talking to Phil, okay?
I will not be spoken to that way, and I'll tell you this right now. The next time I see you, I'll put both your eyes out.
Hey, you know, this is getting way out of...
I am not going to be spoken to like that.
Phil, when you brought that broad on your program, I...
Okay, you know what? I won't... when we get this thing sorted out, we can get these guys back on the air. Get him out of there, okay?
Who?
David Hall. Get this guy Ted back. I don't want to talk to David at all.
I won't have him talk to me like that.
Hey, Ted?
Yeah, I'm right here.
No, David.
Well, he's standing right there.
I don't care. I'm not talking to him. Tell him to go out and sell some airtime.
He says to go sell some airtime. What? That's what he said.
Okay. Did you tell Robert... Okay.
First things first, my man. First things first. What did you call me up to do?
I called you up to tell me how to get rid of stuff off of a computer.
Okay.
All right. Now, you then engaged me in the question of, am I going to get a commercial played?
I wanted to know, yes, if I was going to be given some commercial consideration.
And I said to you, I got to talk to you-know-who.
Right.
Well, we never did get around to that because you got angry at me.
I got angry, yeah.
And you hung the phone up. So the immediate conversation had to do with your mood and whether or not you were in a good mood. I mean, what was going on? I mean, you were yelling at us. We were wondering, did you have a tough day? What's the story? So I call you back. We finally get you on the phone. You tell me this whole story, and you told Robert, and then you told Bud, you know.
Well, what, you want to go ahead and repeat it now? I told you, I'm kidding.
About a guy, you and a guy having a relationship in the army in Hawaii that was gay, and...
I didn't say gay. I didn't say gay, and that's why that dumbass fell for it. Okay?
Well, come on, man.
I didn't say it.
You said you was in the army in Hawaii and everything, and then you come back here and you're getting blackmailed.
All right. I made it up.
Why'd you make it up?
What do you mean, why'd I make it up? Because I saw it on TV last night.
Where did you see it on TV?
Oh, my God. Now I remember. That was in Advice and Consent. It was a film in 1962 with Walter Pigeon, and it was also...
Walter Pigeon. Oh, God. The guy's name was Walter Pigeon.
I know that, but I thought I'd have some respect for him because I don't think it's a very attractive name. So I decided to call him Walter Pigeon and not Walter Pigeon, if it's all the same to you. I have respect for people.
Why don't you have some respect for the guy and call him by his name? Walter Pigeon is not going to make his family happy.
It's Walter Pigeon, right?
Yes.
That's right. That was in the film, the Walter Pigeon story. And
no, it wasn't. It was in the movie.
I'm sorry. It was in the movie Advice and Consent.
I never saw the Walter Pigeon story.
What was that, a bird movie?
No, it wasn't a bird movie.
That guy trying to be funny? I'm talking about the movie Advice and Consent. It was in that movie. I saw it last night on TV. Asked my wife, Marcy. She was there. She saw it, too.
So why did you come on the show tonight and start talking about that?
Just to see how dumb you guys are. And you're dumb. Oh, woo! You're dumb. Dum-da-dum-da-dum-dum.
Yeah, but why tonight of all nights?
Hey. What's going on here anyway? I gave you my story, okay?
The timing is very suspect.
And what's that supposed to mean?
It means that just out of the blue, you decide to make up a story about having a gay relationship with a guy in the army in Hawaii.
It's right out of the movie Advising Consent. You think if I was going to make that up, if that actually happened to me... Oh, yeah, that's right, Phil. Something happened to me in my life that was absolutely identical to what was written in the book by the guy that did the thing. I don't know who the hell the guy was that wrote the book.
Why don't you look up and find out who wrote that book?
The Walter Pigeon book?
It's not a Walter Pigeon book. It's the book Advise and Consent.
Yeah, I'm on it.
Okay. Have one of those two dumbasses look that up, and by next week when they finally figure it out, you'll see that it's in the book. What makes you think that my life is going to exactly mirror some guy's book?
Maybe the guy wrote the book after he found out about you.
What? I was in the army in the 80s. Walter Pigeon wrote the guy...
Will you guys just... We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. Coming up next hour, more news to get into. The Detroit Tigers have won the American League Championship, and the campaign, that is the presidential campaign, takes a break for a night of laughs. We'll find out what they were laughing at, or who they were laughing at, or what they were laughing about. Also, a scout pervert list is revealed. Woo. Weird.
I beg your pardon.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Henry.
Welcome back, everybody, here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And we're on philhenryshow.com, of course, with a backstage pass. You can watch our show every night, videocast of our show every night, as well as listen to the show, as well as access the new Milwaukee Lion broadcasts. Jack I. Gagner and Brett Morrison with our weekly coverage of the Milwaukee Lions football season. And, of course, every week we have the Lions Lion hosted by Jack I. Gagner. And we also are going to be beginning a new podcast featuring Skippy and Frank. Now, I know I had promised the Skippy and Frank... What, bud?
Everybody's waiting today. It's going to be tomorrow.
I know I said tomorrow. And you know something?
Yeah, I don't know, man. You don't look good.
Phil, you don't look good. You don't look like... You don't look like...
You don't lick?
Can I hit him?
Ow!
Don't you ever say that to me again.
All right, fine.
I didn't mean to do anything.
When you say stuff like that, I'm going to let her belt you. I'm going to let him belt you. I'm just going to let everybody just do what they want with you, bud, even if it means death.
You're going to let him kill me.
Get out of here, will you? All right, now look. We had said the Skippy and Frank podcast would be debuting tomorrow morning. As you know, the new Skippy and Frank morning show, Memories of Skippy and Frank. This is part of a series, by the way, that we're doing on the era of the shock jock. And do you remember the shock jock? Anybody remember that?
Yeah, I remember the shock jock on Howard Stern show, not Howard Stern.
Howard Stern. And Margaret, you referenced Howard Stern.
Well, you say the era of the shock jock. It's not over. There are still... The shock jock still travels among us. And the shock jock still perverts and, in my opinion, pollutes the airwaves of America. So no, not by a far shot, not by a long shot, is the shock jock out of our lives. Are we rid of the shock jock?
You did a relaxation.
What?
You did the relaxation.
Bud said that you got into the relaxed school of broadcasting again.
What?
You went, we're not out of the air, shock jock, you know.
Well, I'm sorry. But I did study at the Relaxed School of Broadcasting, which I know is the same place. You know, I don't want to go through it again.
Yeah, so the Milwaukee Lion guy. The shock jock, well, I don't know, Margaret, whether we're out of the air of the shock jock or not. I don't give a damn. But what we're doing here with Skippy and Frank is we're calling that series Memories of the Shock Jocks. And Skippy and Frank were themselves emblematic of that era, and they did all kinds of crazy things. But they're bringing their show back, and we're very happy to support it. Now, will it debut tomorrow morning? I will tell you all this very, very candidly. Please stay tuned to our website, philhenryshow.com. The front page, the headline will blast. As they say, we'll put it on blast. We'll, as Cat Stacks used to say, I'll put him on blast.
Cat Stacks. Boy, there's one.
All right, well, hold on. By the way, she's still in jail. What's going on with her?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, every now and again, I'll pick up Vibe and sort of look at all the Twitter thing, but I don't know.
I will tell you one thing about Cat Stacks. Well, later, just let me get through this.
What about her?
Let me get through this, okay?
Well, I heard that she's really cleaned her act up.
Let's get through the Skippy and... So anyway, Skippy and Frank debuting the Skippy and Frank Show as a podcast, as a download, as a whatever the hell you want to call it, soon on the Phil Henry Show website. To that end, we are also going to be making available our Milwaukee Lion games as a podcast. To that end, you might as well know, because we are very proud to say that we have gone into association with LEG and Molotov, basically the same company, are now doing management of our friends page and our social media, and will be helping us produce our one-man show as well. Great guys over there, Darren McAfee and Rob Hartman, a bunch of good guys that we're so, so happy to have met and to have them in our lives and to have them...
hold your hand.
Hold our hand. Hold my hand. In any event, thank you, and we'll let you know. Now then, we have Stephen Bozell on the line from Corona, California, and if I'm not mistaken, and I could be wrong, but I don't think I am, this is in reference to the all this falderol we were discussing with Ted Bell last hour, and the whole... See, there was a book out called Advise and Consent. Let me bring on now Stephen Bozell. Stephen, I know that you and Mr. Bozell is the owner of B&B Construction in Corona, California. First of all, how are you doing, sir?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, Mr. Henry. I appreciate it.
Now, tell me about the book Advise. You know about the book Advise and Consent. You've had similar experiences?
I don't want to say that I've had... similar experiences, but I did hear the part of your program that referenced the gentleman who went to Hawaii and had a sex relationship with a guy in the Army. In the movie Advise and Consent, in the book that they made, which was done before the movie, and then they did the movie, or they might have done the movie and then did the book.
Well, they did. The book was written. The book was written.
Yeah, the book was written first, then the movie. In that book, there is a part of the plot is the nomination of a Secretary of State. There's a man who's up for Secretary of State, and the President of the United States really wants this man to be Secretary of State. And he's supported in that effort by a number of senators. One of these senators that supports this nomination is a young U.S. senator from Utah, and his name's Brigham Anderson. And I guess they call him Brigham because that's how the Mormons, they name their kids that. And it'll...
Well, it probably helped the audience identify with the fact that he was a straight-laced Mormon or Mormon type of person from Utah.
Okay.
Yeah. And...
I mean, it's not that big of a deal. The name's Brigham. Okay, fine.
Yeah, but also you got to know there's another guy named Brigham. I can't remember.
Brigham Young.
Yes, sir, that's it. And he started a university, Brigham Young University.
He was one of the main prophets of the Mormon faith.
Well, I don't...
Yes, that's true.
Okay. I'd have to see your source on that, but...
My source on that? You can be assured, sir, that Brigham Young was a main leader of the Mormon faith, okay?
All right, well, that takes a little bit of... guts to say that, don't you, if you don't have the material right in front of you?
I know this for a fact.
It's true, Mr. Bozell.
Well, okay. So anyway, this senator, who is Brigham Anderson, no relation, is supporting the president in his nomination efforts of this Secretary of State. Now, there are forces that are obviously arrayed against the president who don't want this man to be Secretary of State, and they're willing to go to great lengths to... not have this man be a Secretary of State, including blackmail. And they're able to get a hold of information about this Brigham Young, who was, as you said, Mr. Henry, the founder of the Mormon faith, who had a gay relationship in the Army in World War II.
And it wasn't Brigham Young. It was the other guy.
Brigham Anderson. I'm sorry, Brigham Anderson. I'm terribly sorry.
Yeah, Brigham Young was the 19th century. This is the new Brigham Anderson.
Brigham Young had a gay relationship.
No, he did. Watch what you're saying, will you? We're talking about a guy's religion, all right?
Well, Phil, it's the Mormon religion. Everyone knows it's okay to make fun of that.
Oh, is that right? Well, not here, okay?
What?
We're not going to do it here. I don't believe in gratuitously attacking a religion. I don't believe in it, and I never will do it. Now, if there's something about the political hierarchy of a religion that we need to know, like maybe the priests are molesting kids or there's other things, we can talk about those things. I'm not going to get into the actual spiritual or philosophical beliefs of religion and start bashing it. I don't believe in that. It ain't going to happen on this show.
Well, I mean, Mr. Henry, if you found out that Brigham Young had a gay thing at Pearl Harbor, and
Brigham Young didn't have any gay thing at Pearl Harbor. He happened to be it was the 19th century.
I mean, I'm talking about the other Brigham.
Well, that's a book. It was made up. It's fiction.
Well, that is true. It is fiction. So it's more to the point if we mention Brigham Young.
No, it's not more to the point. It's just more garbage. More garbage. Go ahead.
I apologize. I started all of that. I should have been clear on that.
No, you didn't do anything wrong, Mr. Bozell. Phil and I have had this discussion for many a year, I can assure you.
Okay, well, what I'm saying is Brigham Anderson is blackmailed by these forces arrayed against the president. And they blackmail him.
They blackmail him.
Shut up, Ben.
They blackmailed him, I mean. And they say that if you don't withdraw your support of this nominee for Secretary of State, we're going to tell everybody about how you did a gay one. And so he goes to New York to find the guy that he had a gay thing with, only to find a gay bar that this gay guy and other gay men go to in a gay section. And the gay bar in a gay section, he found out about the gay bar in the gay section from a gay man up on a gay rooftop, or not a gay rooftop, but it was a gay apartment. And
look, let's just dispense with the gay. I'm assuming that that he's in the gay community.
Yeah, he's in a gay neighborhood.
Greenwich?
Yeah, it's Greenwich, right.
Greenwich.
So he goes and talks, and they send him down to a bar. One of the gays sends him down to the gay. He went up to a gay apartment, and they sent him down to the gay section.
They sent him to the gay bar, which was where his friend was, the young man that he had this relationship with. And
well, you know the story.
Yes, I know the story, for God's sake. I just heard it from Ted Bell, who claimed that he went through it.
No kidding.
Yes, kidding. So, long story short, he kills himself.
Yes, sir. He goes back to Washington, D.C., where he lives with his wife and his children, but he sees no future because he's about to be blackmailed, and so he kills himself. And it's very sad, you know. And
absolutely, yeah.
And I guess in the book it shows the corridors of power in Washington, D.C.
All right, now we're going to get back to your story and how this specifically dovetails with you, Mr. Bozell. You guys can't be that dumb.
What? I
Greenwich. All right, we'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Then a fat gay man. Well, it's not that fat, but then a skinny gay man.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We have a computer out in our studio here, and it happens to be the computer that controls, among other things, our call screening program. And we're too lazy to get it fixed.
So you sit here without your call screening program.
Right. We sit here without a call screener, to be honest with you. So we'll muddle through until we get it fixed. Frankly, I don't think it's anything more serious than rebooting it.
Why don't you?
Because I'm too lazy. You know?
No, too lazy to reboot the call screen computer. Can't use the call screen.
I guess we can't, but I don't have time to get up and go around behind. Why don't one of you guys do it, okay?
Well, I don't know how to do it.
All you got to do is pull the plug out from the back and plug it back in.
Well, if that's all it is, I can do it.
Don't worry about it. We'll get it done when we get it done. Now, later on, the update has not been finished because the installation is corrupted. What the hell does that mean?
That means that it got corrupted.
What does that mean? Like what?
It means that it probably was exposed to maybe a dirty movie or something. Is that what it means?
No, that's not what it means, bud, because this is a...
Are you an idiot? That happens to be a software program.
Yeah, but when they say corrupted...
What do you mean got exposed to a dirty movie? It got corrupted because it happens to be a... it got corrupted. Don't worry about it. What we're talking about here is Our New York Times complete front pages, which we're going to be looking at shortly here on the program, and we haven't done in a long time. And I like looking at these front pages down through the years to see events and to give them some context. Because, there's, as you know, we're big history fans on this show, and that's just the way it's always going to be, and I don't care. That's, you know, you can't know anything unless you know history. You cannot know anything unless you know history. If you don't know history, it's like not knowing how to swim. You'll die. You'll mentally and intellectually die. If you don't know history, it's like not knowing math. If you don't know history, it's like not knowing geography. And what do I mean by that? I mean that if, like math, if you can't add, then you can't, well, you can't total up your bills, you can't total up your debts, your assets, etc. You can't, there's a basic tool that you don't have in order to list, you know, how you're doing financially, let's say. If you don't know geography, you don't know where the hell you are. If you don't know history, then when things happen, and you don't understand these things and why they're happening, and you don't have any historical information or perspective, then you run around like a dumbass, acting without the information you need. It would be, for instance, like going out on a sailboat, not knowing how to sail.
Well, not that bad.
It's exactly that bad. It's exactly that bad. Thank God we've got people. Most of the time, they are in government and they are in positions where. You know, for instance, military people who understand history, they can say, well, this part of the world has been this way for this many years and for this reason, and therefore, because of these things that are going on there and have been going on for this number of years, and here are the leaders, and this is why it got to the way it is today, here's the way we should move forward. You go out on a sailboat and you think all it is, and this is the way most Americans are, this is the way most people are, but I would dare say Americans. We're like the guy that gets in a sailboat and we say, well, hell, all I have to do is raise the sail and let the wind hit it, and it'll just take me where I want to go. And anybody that's ever sailed knows that that's not even close to what it's about.
Well, what's it about, man? I'm talking about sailing. What can it be about?
You got to know, you know.
Well, are you a sailor?
I grew up, my father was a sailor, so I grew up in a sailboat for part of my life. I don't sail now.
Well, what's the big deal? You're talking about, I know what you mean by history.
Sailing, if you think it's to sail, is to know, first of all, how the wind hits that sail, in what position the sail needs to be in, how to move forward. You don't move forward in a sailboat just going in a straight line. You have to do what is called tacking, which is a series of diagonal moves. You're going into the wind, you're going before the wind. You're going into the wind, you're going before the wind.
What's that mean?
See? Now, if you don't know this stuff and you go out there like the dumbass who thinks it's just about putting wind in the sails, you're never going to go anywhere. Chances are you'll capsize. Chances are you'll drown. Now we bring that same example to history. Most people think, well, what the hell's to know, man? All we got to do is look at what's going on in the world right now. That's good enough. No, it ain't. If you don't know why, and you don't know why things are happening, you don't know from whence things came, what is, you know, look at the panic that happened around 9/11. Most of that had to do with people being stunned and shocked because, why is this happening? These people never even picked up a newspaper. They didn't know why things were going on, what was going on. And then they got a little bit of information, and suddenly they become a damn expert. Give people a little bit of information, and suddenly, oh, well, I know all about it, man. I know all this stuff going back 10 years.
Well, Phil, I think that's very arrogant of you. We all know that 9/11 was caused by the United States of America giving to Saddam Hussein.
You don't even know the guy's name, Saddam Hussein.
It doesn't matter.
Well, all right, maybe it doesn't matter, but it goes back further than Saddam Hussein.
How much further can it possibly go back? The United States gave him the weapons of mass destruction that he used on his own people. Now, we all know that.
Yeah.
No, wrong. In the 70s, he was doing business with the French. The frogs were all over him like a bad smell, man, toasting his ass at state dinner, selling him all kinds of weapons. How many of those things killed his own people? How many of those things went into killing Iranians? How many of those things went into starting that war with Iran?
That war with Iran was started at our request so we could get some payback for what happened in Tehran.
Oh, that's the simple-minded jackass's view. Sure, that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. And maybe that is what happened to an extent. But part of what that was about was the United States controlling a region of the world, and the first thing we had to do was control one of those two powers. We had to pick one. It wasn't about the fact they took over the embassy. Nobody gives a sweet at the level that we're talking, the State Department, at the level of the President of the United States, do you honestly think anybody gives a damn whether they took over? Yeah, it pissed us off. But you don't engage a country as a proxy to take on another in a war because they pissed us off with an embassy takeover. Are you nuts?
Well, then why would we possibly do it?
Because we wanted to control, we wanted to knock out one of those two powers. And it wasn't going to be Iraq, because we could use Iraq. The Iranians were, it was an Islamic republic. They hated our guts. They were a complete, we were an anathema to them. We were not going to be able to do business with them. Better that we just knock their asses out of the whole region. Now we run Iraq's ass. Sure.
Well, it didn't work out, did it?
Well, one thing that didn't work out is this. Saddam Hussein, he didn't see the writing on the wall. He knew that his ass, once he lost that war, it was only a matter of time. He was dispensable. He wanted to take over Kuwait because he thought that his best friends in the United States, and we were going to say, yeah, you go ahead, Saddam, you take over Kuwait because you're such a sweetheart because you did such a good job in that war with Iran. No.
So what you're saying is this. Saddam Hussein was targeted for death up to 20, 25 years ago.
When Saddam Hussein was no longer any use to us with regard to Iran, his days were numbered. It probably should have happened with the Gulf War. It didn't. The political situation being what it was, we couldn't very well just march into Baghdad. You know, we had that coalition. We had to be beautiful, this, that. The thing that tipped the scale was 9/11. A lot of people are saying Iraq didn't do that to us. No, Iraq didn't do that to us. But Saddam Hussein was down there paying off terrorists, causing all kinds of problems, telling the UN to stick it, telling the United States to stick it. And basically Bush said the following thing. You know what? We're getting rid of your ass now. I don't care if it is the Middle East. We got rid of Noriega. We're getting rid of you.
That's pretty interesting, Mr. Henry.
Thank you. All right, where's Steve Bozell?
He left him on hold, man. For all I know, he's sitting there crying his eyes out like a big fat baby because he forgot all about him.
Stephen, we're sorry. We'll get right back to you.
Exactly. Steve Bozell will... I'm sorry, man. We should have... We'll be back. World famous. Let's get it. Steve, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, but boy, you talk about feeling lonely.
All right, hold on. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna... Hello?
Phil Henry.
Oh, boy.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Next hour, in the final hour, we'll get into our New York Times headline. It's kind of a cool thing, you know?
That is pretty interesting, Mr. Henry, the way everything looks like it and stuff.
Thank you, bud.
What did he say? Why don't you say, when you're going... Phil, you know you didn't understand that.
Bud, thank you very much. I didn't want to... I guess what I'm saying is I didn't want to... Thank you, bud.
What are you saying? I'm not really... Say it good?
Am I say you not really say it good?
Slow down, bud. That's what you got to do.
Hey, look, man, I see the newspaper behind you on Phil TV.
Yeah, we have behind me on Phil TV on our green screen, you can see the New York Times. This is a series of our front pages that we like to look at. We haven't done this in a while. And the reason why I went over to the year 1969...
Yeah, you're 69. Woo! 69. Woo! 60.
Shut up!
Ow!
What did I tell you?
You said not to go... Woo!
Right.
But then again, man, why you let him stay in here?
Because Bud thinks that I'm not going to kill him, you see?
Oh.
See? Isn't that right, Bud?
What do you mean?
Well, you think that you're safe. You don't think that I'll lose it one day and break your neck or throw you out a window down 6 flights of stairs. You don't think that'll happen, do you? Do you?
Not really.
Well, it could. Because I have it in me, Bud. Murder.
Phil, stop that.
No, wait, no, just...
What are you talking about, Mr. Henry? Cut it out.
I have murder in my heart, Bud. In my heart, in my life, in this time on the planet that I've spent, I've seen enough of this world, and I've had my ass kicked around a little bit, too, where all bets are off. I'll kill you. I'll kill you, and then I will stand out on the driveway and wait for the cops to arrive with my wrists out and say, go ahead, slap the bracelets on.
Shut up!
No, I'm telling you.
You're scaring him.
I hope I am scaring you. You keep pushing me, man.
I'll kill you.
Mr. Henry.
I'll kill you. You keep talking out loud, I'll kill you. Remember when we saw that movie Stripes?
Yeah, the guy kept saying, I'll kill you.
That's me. The guy in Stripes, he kept saying, mess with my stuff, I'll kill you. Call me Shorty, I'll kill you.
Yeah, that movie was a riot, man. I'll kill you.
I thought that was a charming movie with Bill Moran, right?
Bill Murray, yeah. All right, so...
I'm going to interview him next month.
I don't think you'll be interviewing him when he finds out that you called him Bill Moran. All right, so let's get into this with Stephen Bozell. My apologies, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Bozell is back with us here from Corona, California. Steve, I know that you've gone outside with the phone.
Yes, sir. I'm just out. I just wanted to calm down and...
Did we upset you?
I'm sorry, sir?
Did we upset you?
Well, I mean, I was waiting on hold and waiting on hold and waiting on hold. And all I heard you talking about was... You know, you were discussing, I guess, the gay, everything about gay, but you want to talk to me and leave the impression, you know.
So you're at your, is this a piece of property that?
This is the back of our property. Yeah, we've got 5 acres out here.
And this is a pond?
Yes, sir. I have a pond. I reflect that. I dug this pond for two reasons. I stocked it with bluegill. Because where I'm from in Tennessee, I come from Knoxville, Tennessee, and we had two or three different reservoirs that we used to fish bluegill. So I stocked this one with bluegill. And then the other reason why I come out here, it helps me calm down. I can meditate. Birds and everything here.
It's late at night for those birds to be active, isn't it?
Well, the birds are asleep, but what I do is I've got a sound system that I can play from the house. And so I play bird. I play a bird sound. And
well, what am I hearing that's real?
Well, I'm outside. What do you mean, what are you hearing?
Well, what am I hearing? Birds? Is that a recording?
That comes from a sound system in the house, yes, sir.
Okay. And do I hear water?
That's part of the sound system, yes, sir.
Are you outside at a pond?
Yes, sir.
Okay, then why the...
Because it's at night and there's no birds that is up. Birds are all asleep. Birds sleep, you understand that, right?
Yes, sir, I do, okay. My apologies. I don't know how it works. So when you go out there at night...
When I come out here at night, my wife activates the sound system from the master bedroom, so I got a bird. I'm listening to birds. And I can feel good about it and everything.
Yeah, it sounds very real.
Well, those are squirrels.
And that's a recording.
Those are real. Those are real. I just noticed them now. They're coming. How you doing? Yeah? They must have got up to...
Midnight snack, huh?
I guess. You're acting like...
Okay, let's talk about, Steve, the incident that you were going to tell me about having to do with yourself and how you can shed some light on Mr. Bell and his alleged... you realize that he denies that he had any kind of a gay relationship when he was in the Army. He's saying that he made that up for some reason. Because he saw the movie Advise and Consent.
Well, I think you can interpret things any way you want. It took a long time for me to be able to live down the events of the, first 5 years of my marriage. But when I come to understand that what I did had no real bad, there's nothing bad about it, I was able to live with it and explain it to my wife. But my wife and her girlfriends went on a girlfriend vacation to Palm Springs during the Dinosaur weekend, because that's a female golf tournament, if you know all about it.
The Dinosaur was the women's championship, yeah.
In Palm Springs, yes, sir. So I decided...
And your wife and her girlfriends went out to that?
Yes, sir. So I decided that I would have my buddies get together, and we would have a card game, and we'd go out and have some drinks, have some dinner at a local, local restaurant. And
but what's that? Is that a squirrel that's real, too?
Bud, be quiet, will you?
What did he say?
No, never mind. Go ahead.
So my buddy and I, we went out and...
Now, how many guys were with you?
Well, we had probably about half a dozen guys. We had dinner, and then we went to a nightclub that, had some drinks, and they had dancing and everything. We just wanted to have a booth and a couple booths, and we'd sit and have drinks and talk and have a good time. And I said, finally, I miss my wife. All the guys are saying, yeah, we miss our wives because we love our wives. We weren't in there to have any kind of, hanky-panky or anything like that. But the music was playing, and I felt like dancing because April and I dance. And we slow dance, we fast dance. So I said, is there a problem? I said, why, as long as we're missing our wives so much, why don't we go out and dance and think about our wives while we're dancing? And a lot of the guys were, yeah, it makes sense. So we went out on the dance floor and danced.
Now, were you dancing with each other?
Well, no, not. Now, I don't want to call it dancing with each other. Yeah, we were looking at each other while we danced. And when we slow danced...
What do you mean you slow dance? Were you slow dance with your arm around another guy?
Hold on for a minute.
Yeah, what, that's what I'm asking.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, when we slow danced, there's no... My wife isn't there, and I'm not going to slow dance with another woman. So I slow danced with Bob Jeffries, who's our one of our cement finishers. But I was thinking about April, and Bob was thinking about his wife. I forget her name, Twyla, I think. So we're both thinking about our wives while we're slow dancing. So I'm slow dancing with my wife, but she's not there.
What is that?
That's a real squirrel. Am I talking about slow dancing or nut gathering?
Probably the same thing.
Okay.
You know, I can hang up just as fast.
All right, hold on, okay?
I don't need that guy. I don't have to take that from him.
Well, I mean, you're sitting there talking about dancing with another guy. Then you talk about squirrel out nut gathering.
I said the squirrel. You asked me if that was a squirrel nut gathering. I didn't say nothing. And then you said, oh, if the squirrel's nut gathering, what was I doing?
Nobody is saying anything yet, Mr. Bozell, okay?
Well, then don't have him reference nut gathering.
We heard a squirrel. What do you want, you know?
If I'd known, I'm going back inside.
Just stay where you are. Now, the question then becomes the following thing. You're thinking about your wives. You miss your wives. You're out dancing, slow dancing with another guy.
No, sir, I am not slow dancing with him. I'm slow dancing with my wife.
I understand. You were thinking of your wife while you're slow dancing.
Yes, sir.
But you are with... How do I put it?
I have my arms around another guy. I have my arms around Bob Jeffries. But if you think for 1 second that's got some kind of a gay thing, I'm saying my wife's not there, so who's the next logical choice?
Bob Jeffries.
Exactly. And
yeah, but you approve of that?
It's not what I approve of. I understand a lifestyle.
What life? It's not a lifestyle, sir. It's not a lifestyle, sir.
Well, sir, I understand.
No. There's no lifestyle, no nothing. I'm telling you that my wife wasn't there.
So, all right, so the next logical person, you're slow dancing.
Yes, sir. And what happened was I got aroused, so did Bob Jeffries. But I got aroused thinking about April. So that when I come home and April came home, and earlier in the week, the word got out that I was dancing with Bob Jeffries. You know, that's when everything...
Well, what happened?
Well, I mean, the rumor got floated. They floated a rumor. And if it floats, you know, and you don't want it floated, you're going to have to either...
You got to flush it.
What do you mean flush it? I mean, they floated a rumor. Well, okay, yeah, you can flush it or sink it, but you got to get the rumor. Don't let it float. So... I told everyone, I got everybody together at work, and I said, Bob Jeffries and I, as you know, were slow dancing. We were thinking about our wives. We weren't thinking about each other. And apparently somebody noticed that I was aroused. I can assure you it was my wife. Let's get back to work. Thank you very much. And I dealt with it.
Well, that doesn't sound like the kind of thing that's going to put a rumor to rest.
No, it really doesn't, Steve. Was that the last time that you dealt with that?
Well, I mean, I had to fire a few people because they were... But I called in to tell this guy... whatever his name is, that, was it Bell?
Yeah, Ted Bell.
Not to worry about it.
Well, Ted Bell claims he was joking.
Yeah, sure. And
all right, well, maybe we can get him back on the line, maybe not. That's a very interesting story.
Well, I can tell by the way you say that's a very interesting story, you're basically calling me a liar.
No, I'm not calling you. No, sir, I'm not.
Well, I am. And I'll tell you this, Steve, you can kid yourself... And as Abraham Lincoln said, you can kid me, but you can't kid them.
Well, you know...
Lincoln didn't say that, okay?
Hold on for a minute. I'm sitting here looking at two squirrels, and all they're doing is gathering nuts for the wintertime, and the first thing I got to hear about it is from one of your staff members saying, hey, nut gathering, I guess you know something about that, Mr. Bozell. So right away, you know, the inference begins and the smartass starts. And when the smartass starts, so that's why you got to quash these rumors. And I'm saying to Mr. Bell, if he's listening, if you were in Hawaii and you were in the Army and you had a thing with a guy, just go ahead and come right out and say it. And if you're not, then tell everybody the truth.
Well, that's what he did. He said he was kidding.
I don't think that's the truth. I think you have to do what's the truth? He was living with a guy, and the wives weren't there, and they went out. It was the palm tree and everything. You know, you're in Hawaii. All you're gonna see is, you know.
Yeah, a lot of them coconuts.
Okay. Goodbye.
Why did you hang up?
I don't know. I.
Because you're a smartass.
No, wait. I think in that instance, Bud didn't mean anything. Or did you?
Don't just ain't there a coconut tree?
He's a smart. Why say coconut? Why not say a coconut tree? Or why not just say a palm tree?
Well, you know something? There's too much to this story that I'm going to get pissed off at Bud about, okay? However, he told you they were squirrels. You didn't have to get into the whole nut-gathering thing, because you know that he's sensitive to that.
Yeah, well, that guy talking any sense about nut-gathering coconut, I get wherever there's smoke, there's fire.
Got that right.
Wherever there's smoke, there's fire. We'll be right back. The world, what are we talking about? Who cares? We'll be right back. It's the world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
I'm calling Dolores Blasingame. She'll call you promptly tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock.
What?
They made a monkey.
Yeah, take a look.
Next hour, what I wanted to do, and we are going to be looking at our New York Times headlines, I wanted to look at the June 29th, 1969 edition of the New York Times because I wanted to revisit the Stonewall, so-called Stonewall riots. The Stonewall Inn was a bar in Greenwich Village that was frequented by the gay people of Greenwich Village, and on that on the night of the 28th, when the police raided the Stonewall Inn, as the police frequently did in New York, not only that bar, but other bars known to be patronized by, as they called them then in those days, homosexuals, this was a common occurrence, not only in New York City, but all over the United States. It was against the law to be a homosexual. So on that particular night, when the police came into the bar, the patrons of the bar drove the police out with them, their bodies, their fists, makeshift weapons. At one point, they actually then cornered the cops back inside the Stonewall Inn, and the cops were sort of, it was a dangerous situation. They didn't want to come out. The crowd outside was extremely angry, and eventually it became, quite a problem. Eventually, there were other cops that were brought in, and it was a, for all intents and purposes, it was a riot or a melee or a free-swinging, fist fight between cops and bar patrons and members of the local community. It was a big event, and I was looking for it here.
Then all they got mad is a monkey.
Yeah, see that?
So what, man?
Well, why don't they have it on the front page?
I'm going to look further. What we were looking for in the June 29th issue of the New York Times. But I think this is educational.
Educational to what? That they didn't care about human rights in those days?
Maybe. They didn't care about the rights of gay people. But here's an event that was the biggest in history up to that point among gay people, certainly in this country and possibly around the world. It was the biggest event ever. And it didn't even make the front page of the New York Times. What did make the front page, and this is what Robert and Bud are screaming about, monkey launched into 30-day orbit.
There you go. A monkey is... And by 1969, were there not already humans in outer space?
Yes.
Then what's the big wow with a monkey?
Well, it's still pretty good to put a monkey up there.
Don't give a damn, man, about putting a monkey up there. They were going to put a man on the moon.
Yeah, keep in mind, in 30 days, a man would land on the moon for the first time in history. There was all kinds of stuff going on, man. 6 months before this was the Tet Offensive. Maybe that was 1968, I forget. What the hell do they give a crap about a monkey? A 14-pound male monkey embarked tonight on a 30-day Earth-long orbit flight for the month's intensive study made of a complex living... I don't understand that.
They'll find out what a man can live on the moon.
Not live on a moon. What do they care? The man might got to live there.
Well, they got to find out about a man on the moon.
What do you mean they got to find out about a man on... By 1969, we'd already orbited the damn moon. We got ready to land on the moon. We've had guys in space for years, and now they got a monkey that's going up for 30 days?
And that made the front page of the New York Times and not the Stonehenge.
Stonewall.
No, isn't it Stonehenge?
I think it's Stonehenge.
No, it wasn't Stonehenge. It was the name of the bar in New York.
Yeah, but what about Stonehenge?
That's a place in England, man. That's got nothing to do with Stonewall.
Now, the Stonewall was what?
That was the name of a general. Phil, you're talking about Stonehenge. No, I'm not.
Are you... I don't want to call you stupid, Margaret, but you're acting stupid.
In what... Yeah, don't you dare go even near that word. In what way?
Stonewall was the name of the bar.
Also the name of a general.
That might be the name of a general. That might be the name of a general. I don't doubt that it was the name of the general.
Maybe they named the bar after the general.
Could be, too. But the fact is, the bar was called Stonewall. Stonehenge ain't got nothing to do with it.
Well, what's Stonehenge, then? I get confused.
That's that bunch of rocks in England.
What?
Okay, I'm all done. I refuse, you know.
Well, if you don't want to educate people...
Don't act dopey, okay, guys? Stonehenge was that rock thing that's in England, and people go and visit it.
Yeah, it's all that witchcraft and everything.
Yeah, that's where the druids sacrifice a human being.
Well, they don't know if that's true or not. So that's Stonehenge.
Right, what did you think that was?
I thought that was Stonewall.
Well, now you know. So Stonewall was the name of the club, or the bar, if you will, in New York. And as we look at the front page of the New York Times on June the 29th of 1969, it did not make the front page. I think it's interesting. Now, one of the things about that could be that the paper was put to bed, as they said in the old days of newspapers. It was put to bed before they could get the news into the next day's edition. This riot, if you will, took place... It took place at night and probably went well into the night before things were controlled. I can't imagine they didn't have a reporter down there or somebody said, well, wow, there's a big, you know, a dust up between the cops and the patrons of this bar, you know.
They probably had like a police beat.
Yeah, some guy that did their police beat. And hey, this would be a major thing if you're throwing a bunch of guys in a paddy wagon and taking them to jail late at night in New York City. That's bound to be a story that somebody is going to want to cover. So I'm imagining that that didn't make it into the paper. So the next day. So we come back, we'll look at June 30th and see.
They'll have another story about an ape that they launched into outer space. I think it's an insult. It really is. And here it is, 2012, and we're reading about apes.
Yeah, well, that was in that paper then.
What?
That was in the paper then.
That was back then, not now.
Are you listening to me? I'm saying... What are you saying?
They're saying that you're looking at a newspaper from 1969, so...
Well, I still don't think we should be reading about it.
Well, of course we should be reading about it. It's a historical record. That's the way the newspaper looked in 1969. We should know that that's how it looked. We're not having to read it now. Now it would be different. But back then, that was it.
It's 2012, Phil, and we're reading about a monkey. We're reading about a monkey. Do you understand?
We're reading about a monkey because I'm the guy making us read about the monkey. We can take the monkey page down if you want.
You don't get it.
That's right. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Reading about a monkey.
Why, you...
Yeah!
We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
All right, welcome. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this here show. And again, we will be keeping you updated as to our plans on when and where. We will launch our one-man show. This will be a live show. It will be for your enjoyment there in, a live venue.
Like in a theater, like, are you planning on, I know it's not Carnegie Hall, but not the Kennedy, but a theater.
Well, yeah, you know, but in a live venue, you know.
Like what? Like in a club or something?
It'll be in venues like that, club size and then bigger if we're lucky, you know.
And what do you mean by lucky? You mean it has to, in other words, it has to take off.
Well, sure, of course, you know. And you have to, what you have to do is you have to produce a show that isn't just going to be good for the audience that knows you, for my audience. That's I'm grateful for the people that know me and for the people that would come out and watch us. But it has to be something that is going to attract people who say, oh, wow, you know, I saw this show that a friend of mine took me to, a guy named Phil Hendry, who I'd never heard of, and I went and saw it, and it was really good, and I really liked it, and they begin kind of the buzz that way.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
You don't know what I mean by that.
What do you mean by create the buzz?
If someone comes to see the show who likes me, right?
Yeah. No, I know that part, but what about...
What do you mean when they bring someone that doesn't know you?
When you bring somebody to... haven't you ever done that? Haven't you ever said, oh, you should come with me to go see this guy?
What?
Are you kidding me, Margaret? You're a theater... you've been writing about theater your whole life.
I'm just messing around. Go ahead.
You know, I've had enough of this messing around stuff.
Come on, man. What's your sense of humor? How we doing? Just pulling your leg, man.
Yeah, we're just funning with you.
God almighty. You're Mr. Joke until people start joking you.
All right. Okay, I'm sorry, but I mean, all night long people would joke. So you know what I mean?
Of course I do. You're saying that people will come to see your show bringing along a friend. And if that friend likes it and they've never heard of you before, they'll say, oh, I saw a show, and they'll bring a friend, and they'll bring a friend. Well, forget it. It won't happen.
You don't think it'll happen?
I'm kidding. Yes, of course I do.
Will you knock it off?
All I'm just pulling your leg, and you can't take it.
Yes, I can take it. I'm supposed to be the guy that pulls legs around here. All right.
What about this gay thing?
Take it easy, bud. Don't start getting empowered because Margaret's putting one over on me, okay? This gay thing. I'm looking for the Stonewall article, and again, now I'm on the next day. This is June 30th, and guess what? I still don't see any reference to this Stonewall event on the front page of the New York Times, and I may have to just sort of... So I think what this is a very good education on the Times, and I'll tell you...
The New York Times.
No, the times that we were living in then. And I'll tell you something. I've often said, and I believe it's true, if you want to get into a time capsule and literally immerse yourself in what it must have been like to be, to live in those days, you know, get yourself like this New York Times CD-ROM or something similar that will put you, that will immerse you in the period where all you have in front of you are the events of the day, and you'll begin to feel like a time traveler. And it's an amazing experience because suddenly you're seeing terms like, you know, Negro and homosexual, and you're seeing things that you would think would be on the front page of a newspaper, and they're not. They're buried three, four, five pages back because those things weren't important in those days. And again, here we are on the June 30th, and the headline in the New York Times is "Influence of Joint Chiefs is Reported Rising," and it has this picture, this ominous picture of all of these. These military guys, you know.
Well, this is, people were afraid of a military dictatorship, Phil. And you know that the book was called, Seven Days in May. Do you remember the book, 7 Days in May?
Yeah, that was about the gay movement, right?
No, it wasn't.
But no, it wasn't about the gay movement. 7 Days in May, I do remember.
That was a book about a fictitious, but nonetheless feared... military coup in the United States.
I know. And it has a climactic scene, I know, in the film where, you know, two generals, and I forget who they are.
Well, one was played by Burt Lancaster, and the other was played by the other one. Who wasn't Burt Lancaster?
What do you mean, who wasn't Burt Lancaster?
You had Burt Lancaster, then who wasn't him?
I don't know. Humphrey Bogart?
He was dead by then. Who... Get Frank on the phone, would you, Robin?
Well, I gotta wait for Mr. Henry.
Get Frank on the phone.
Go ahead.
I'll ask Frank.
Fine. But anyway, yeah, that's an interesting headline there. Influence of Joint Chiefs reported on the rise. So I suppose that there was a fear in this country that there could be possibly, I don't know, a military dictatorship, although I don't think... Is this Frank Ray? Frank, how you doing?
I'm better than Custer, young man. How are you?
Great. Margaret's here.
Frank, I have a question, darling. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, honey.
Who was... You know Burt Lancaster?
Yeah, I never met her, no.
All right, but you know who I'm talking about.
Of course.
Who was the other actor that wasn't Burt Lancaster?
Kirk Douglas.
That's it, Kirk Douglas.
Wait, can I ask a question before we move on?
What?
I want to ask, Frank, can I ask you something?
Yeah, go ahead.
How do you guys got some kind of shorthand here?
Who?
You and Margaret.
I don't know what you mean.
He's talking about the fact, what I said to you, who was not Burt Lancaster, and you knew immediately it was Kirk Douglas, because you just know how I think, right?
Well, I know how you think, but I also know that there was Burt Lancaster, and when you said who was the other one, you naturally you were going to say Kirk Douglas, because there wasn't any other actor that would possibly fit that bill. In other words, there was Burt Lancaster, and then there was Kirk Douglas, and then a whole bunch of, you know, other guys. That's the best way I can put it.
So those two guys were the biggest, huh?
I would say that those two guys are the biggest, and then you had, if you're talking about the early 1960s, is that where we're going with all of this?
Well, that era, yes.
All right, well, if you say to me, in the early 1960s, when I started producing television, I did a little bit of film, of course there was John Wayne, but when Margaret said,
when I said who was the other one?
Right. When Margaret said who was the other one, I immediately knew that he was talking about the other one. You say Burt Lancaster, and then you say who's the other one, and there's only one name you can say, and that's Kirk Douglas, because there's no other one that there is.
What does that mean? I don't know what that means.
What it means is you're not going to say John Wayne. You're not going to say there's Burt Lancaster and then there's John Wayne, because she does not belong with her. You see? And
she doesn't belong with her.
What?
Nothing.
He's got the gender confusion. You know that.
I know that. I thought it was simply a husband and wife knowing how each other thinks.
Well, that may be the case, but when he said who... He said to me, didn't he just say, Frank, honey, there's Burt Lancaster and who? And I said, Kirk Douglas, because that's a logical place to go. If you say Burt Lancaster, you're not going to say John Wayne. Those two, they have nothing to do with each other. You know, John Wayne, if you see John Wayne in a movie, you probably think of her being in Westerns. If you see Burt Lancaster in a movie, you probably think of her being in, I don't know, maybe a detective slash... and you probably see her, you still see her, making out with Deborah Carr on a beach when she took him by the shoulders and threw him on the sand. It was, an amazing scene. And so I think everyone remembers Burt Lancaster for that scene, and from here to hell and gone, or whatever the hell today. I don't remember that.
From Here to Eternity.
What was it called?
It was called From Here to Eternity.
Well, you know, I never did like that movie, because a very good friend of mine was cut out of a boat, and you remember her, the late George Reeves. And
oh, did you know George Reeves?
I did, and she was a hell of an actor, and I liked George in that film, and I said to her... And they cut a lot of her scene out in subsequent showings of the movie. And George, and so every time you bring up From Here to Hell and Back or Go to Hell, I call the movie Go Straight to Hell, because it doesn't matter to me what it's called. And
So you don't like the film?
No, I think it's a great film. But when George was cut out, I felt bad for her, and I told her later, I said, you know, that was dirty pool, George, and she said, what do you mean? I said, well, and from go to hell, you know, take it and go to hell, and she knew. See, that's the other thing. When you're talking to people that you know, I'm talking to Margaret, or I would talk to George, and God bless her, she's been gone these many years. And
do you think George Reeves killed himself?
No, I don't think so. I don't think anybody that knew George would believe that she killed herself, no.
Because that was the whole thing.
Yeah, I know. And they did that lousy movie with that Ben Affleck. And let me tell you something. I knew George Reeves, and Ben Affleck was no George Reeves. And
you know, George Reeves was a guy who had that one marvelous part, Superman. And it didn't seem to make him happy, did it?
No, it made him happy. It didn't make her happy, but it made him happy.
Who are you talking about?
The wife that George was married to. I forget his name. But that's the one they thought killed him, see? And that's who I think killed him.
What's her name?
I forget what his name is. Who was the gal that George was married to, Margaret?
Oh, I don't know, but they floated the rumor that somehow she had something to do with him getting killed, didn't they?
Yeah, there was some rumor about there was a bongo party going on when George got home that night, and they were playing bongos and sipping Cokes. And it was one of these wild bongo parties they used to have in the 50s, and George came home and said, you know what, all of you people can take it straight up the colon, I'm going to bed. And he flipped them all off, and he went upstairs, and...
He did.
The wife, yeah.
What did George do?
George was downstairs playing bongos. What the hell do you think?
All right, hold on for a minute. I don't understand this gender confusion. It's driving me nuts.
Well, then why don't you hang up on him, Phil?
I think I'm going to have to.
He's doing the best he can.
A wild bongo party sipping Cokes and playing bongos, huh?
Yeah, it sounds pretty wild to me.
That was the era then, Phil, okay?
All right, we'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. He went upstairs, and she played the bongos, and he... And she...
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
What's gotten into her, anyway?
I don't know, Frank. She'll be... he'll be better.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Here's a headline that is pretty good here from the 1969 June 30th edition of the New York Times. 70 paying guests will study Appalachian poverty. Now, that's an interesting thing, isn't it?
Well, what are you making fun of the Great Society? See, I don't want anyone to mock the Great Society of Lyndon Baines Johnson. It was a wonderful, wonderful time in American history.
That may well be, Margaret, but this was also now after President Johnson was gone. This was President Nixon. The war was really out of control. There was a lot of trouble, in paradise, man. So you can talk all you want. What the hell's the name of this town? Cinderella, West Virginia.
Yes, Cinderella, West Virginia was the name of the town. And it was a mythic place. People would go there to study poverty, but it wouldn't... For some reason, I think that the myth, it didn't harm you there. You could starve, but still enjoy yourself.
Excuse me?
Well, that was the thinking. That was...
The thinking? Why? Because they called it Cinderella, West Virginia?
What's that mean? It was like everybody roll around pumpkin.
Yeah, it sound like that.
Well, don't be ridiculous. You know,
well, who's being ridiculous? You could be in poverty, but still be enjoying yourself because you lived in Cinderella, West Virginia. Nonetheless, that's the name of the town. And there were these, and they have a picture of a guy, what's his name? He's the father of 25 children, and his wife, and they're living in this ramshackle place, and what the hell? Are there men out there that are the fathers of 25 children still?
Yeah, but they're all black.
Why, you left?
All right, hey, come on. I didn't say anything bad.
I told you, Robert.
You're not allowed to say something like that.
Well, you know, I mean, no, he isn't, but frankly...
You say that's true?
No, it's not true they're all black. But the fact is, I think you got to pick your battles here, man, if you want to kick his ass for some... But just stay away from the race stuff, okay?
Yeah, but I'm allowed to the free speech.
No, you're not. No, you're not allowed the free speech. On this show, no, you're not. And I'm telling you right now, you do what I tell you to do. That's the free speech you get. You understand?
That's not right.
May not be right, but you can quit any time you want or I can fire you again.
The mistake you made was bringing him back.
Maybe. All right, so thank you very much, New York Times. I guess we'll dig into that a little bit more. Now, the campaigns took a break for a night of laughs last night. That's right, President, or I should say on Wednesday night, because we are now well into Friday morning here. President Barack Obama and Republican candidate Mitt Romney took a break from their often rancorous campaigns to poke fun at each other and themselves at the annual Alfred E. Smith Memorial Dinner in New York City. Romney told the formal white tie and gown crowd that it's nice to finally relax and wear what Ann and I wear around the house. Very cute.
That is very. They're mocking their image, correct?
That's exactly right. But here is the bigger story, and this is a sick, twisted thing. An avalanche of once-secret Boy Scout documents released yesterday detaining decades of alleged abuse includes at least 170 cases from Massachusetts. I'm reading the Boston Herald here. Spanning the state with the accusations of wretched molestation and a blind eye to protecting victims. Now, that's 170 cases from Massachusetts because I'm reading out of the Boston Herald, but this is a national scandal. The so-called perversion files, a cache of more than 14,500 pages released under an Oregon Supreme Court order, detailed abuse, some substantiated, some simply alleged, that the Boy Scouts of America began documenting shortly after their founding in 1910. Oh, baby. Oh, baby.
This is the end of the Boy Scouts.
Well, I'm sure there are a lot of people that would like it to be.
What, don't you think that'll take the Boy Scouts down because of this?
Well, I'll tell you this much. There's a lot of people that want to see the Boy Scouts go away, and those are people that have... Those are people that have claimed... not go away. There's a lot of people that want to see the Boy Scouts better insulated, but most of those people are anti-gay. They think keeping gay men out of there means that there won't be any molestation, you know?
Well, this obviously proves that they're wrong, but what I'm asking you is, the Boy Scouts are in jeopardy, are they not?
The Boy Scouts are in jeopardy, but not for the reasons that a lot of people are thinking. The first thing people are going to say is, see, this is what happens when homosexuals are... Well, the fact is, the Boy Scouts had a long-standing policy against homosexuals being in the Boy Scouts. And look what happened.
Yeah, well, they could still sneak in.
Yeah, man, I didn't sneak in. These are straight guys.
These are heterosexual men, okay? Heterosexual men. They could very well be all heterosexual men. It doesn't have anything to do with gender orientation. This is a illness that goes beyond that. Or if you want to call it an abnormality, a sociopathy, something along those lines. But it transcends whether you are straight or gay. If you say that people want to see the Boy Scouts go away, the people that would like to see the Boy Scouts go away because of this would probably be, in my opinion, gay activists who would say the following thing. Look, you hid instances of child molestation, and you wanted to, in a de facto or default manner, blame us because you kept us out of your organization, saying we got to keep gays out because we've had a whole bunch of child molestation going on that we haven't told anybody about, but it's been going on since 1916. 1916! And so we decided to take the matter into our own hands. We keep all you gays out, and we don't protect victims. We just hush the whole thing up. And there, we've dealt with it. Well, guess what? No, you didn't. The Oregon Supreme Court ordered that these files be released. In one Massachusetts case, a scoutmaster who also said in records he studied to be a priest admitted to sexually assaulting an 11-year-old scout and masturbating in front of scouts various times at troop meetings. But after undergoing court-ordered counseling, he applied to serve on a scouting committee. While he was initially denied, a handwritten note from a BSA official said, "We would suggest waiting until he has a son old enough for scouting before he again attempts to register." Yeah, you guys are really protecting. You're keeping all those gay people out. Another man, an assistant scoutmaster, was accused of molesting and threatening multiple boys. The local scout committee invited him to address the allegations before them, but he instead resigned and skipped town within a month, according to the files. The committee decided to take no legal action, citing the support of the parents of the boys and the pastor of the church. You loving this? Now, what's going to happen is the gay question will come up. And if the Boy Scouts of America attempt to, in any way, shape, or form, make this a problem having to do with gays, and they did the very best they could by keeping gay people out. In other words, if the Boy Scouts of America keep passing the buck, then, yeah, that's the end of the Boy Scouts of America.
Well, if that's the case, then I'm glad to see it go.
Well, I have to be honest with you. I would be, too. I would be, too. All right, we'll be back. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
That's baloney. Shut up, man.
Phil Henry.
All right, let's talk about this binder thing, because Dan and I were talking about, you know, Romney made this comment about binders full of women, meaning that he was looking for qualified women. He was looking for women to fill positions in the government, in the executive end of Massachusetts government. And he asked for and received binders. That is, you know what a binder is. We've all from our school days, with the names of women. Now, a lot of people may misunderstand. Well, what does that mean? What's the big deal? I mean, if you think in terms of, if you're looking for a qualified people, if you're looking to find people, and let's say you want to have a specific group represented, be it a gender, women, or a race, you know, black or white or whoever, then the notion of, and the reason you want to bring those people into government is to better represent America and America's strengths and find the best people. And, you know, we're not really looking in the right places to find these best people. The last thing you want to do is boil all of those people down to some group that you shove into a binder or a filing cabinet. Let me go to filing cabinet and look under women. You know, be like kind of saying, you know, I want a job and I feel violent. Well, let me look in my filing cabinet. I'll get a bunch of binders and see what it says under old people, man, and then we'll get back to you, you know, or under Mexicans. So in that, and yes, you may be saying, oh, that's silly. No, it's not silly. That's exactly how it was received, and that's why people, a lot of people were commenting on that. A lot of people who were you know, negatively disposed to that comment. In the story here, there's a lot of jokes that were made, and I saw all the jokes, but, you know, whatever. The Republicans tried to make the best of things. The media fact, by the way, the media fact-checked the comment. Women, the comment, and found Romney's anecdote wanting. Apparently, Romney had said that he had gone to a woman's group asking for resumes, and then they would put these all into a binder or binders, and he'd say, I had binders full of these resumes. Fact is, according to this fact-check group, unnamed in this news story here under the Reuters banner, the woman's group approached him. Amazon.com's product reviews for two and three-ring binders were flooded with snarky comments and thousands more indications that visitors found the faux reviews, quote, helpful. This binder is 28% cheaper than the male version and works a lot better, etc., etc. Republicans tried to make the best of things. Republican National Committee Chairman Priebus and Senator Kelly Ayotte of New Hampshire talked about Obama's empty binder second term agenda on a conference call with reporters the day after the debate, contending that the Democrats' use of the term was demeaning to women. But the Democrats knew a good thing when they saw it and did all they could to run with the metaphor. Obama added Big Bird to his stump speech after Romney mentioned the children's television character. After Romney mentioned the children's television character as he promised to cut funding for public broadcasting during their first debate on October the 3rd, now he talks about binders. We want our sons to thrive in math and science and engineering, but we also want our daughters to thrive too, he said to a rally in Massachusetts. You see, we don't have to order up some binders to find qualified, talented, driven young women who can learn and excel in these fields right now. The bottom line here is, I don't know whether it's a comment that's going to get Romney well, Margaret, you've been very quiet.
I don't have anything to say.
Why?
Well, I think it's self-explanatory. I really do. And Phil, I'll say this. The Republican Party, for all of the women that are in that party, and for all of the women that speak out as conservatives, and for all of the women who claim that the Republican Party better represents them. I've talked to all of them. I know all of their arguments. The Republican Party is controlled by, run by, is philosophically fueled by individuals that know very little, next to nothing, about the issues confronting women, black people, gay people, minorities in general. They are still the white man's party. Thank you very much.
That's not fair to say that.
Oh, bud, would you stop? I don't even want to waste the breath.
Well, I mean, he has a right to his opinion.
He has a right to his opinion. To quote Harlan Ellison, all right?
Who?
Harlan Ellison.
But you don't have to do that, Margaret. We all know what his name is.
No, you don't. He doesn't.
Harlan Ellison, bud. You know who he is?
No.
There, I rest my case. To quote Harlan Ellison, you have a right to your informed opinion. You do not have a right to your opinion.
Yes, I do.
Well, that's a little simplistic, isn't it?
What are you saying?
I'm saying that, yes, he has a right to be, if he has a stupid opinion, a smart, he has a right to have an opinion, even if it's dumb. Even if it's dumb. We have a right not to take his advice. We have a right to say, thank you, but, you know, your advice I'm not taking. And if they ask us why, we have a right to say, because you're an idiot. But he does have a right to his opinion.
All right, okay. Well, he has a right to his opinion. I have a right to say it's a stupid opinion.
Okay. I mean, if you want to be rude, you can simply say the following thing. Thank you very much. And not take his opinion, not take his advice. And better yet, if you're confronted with a dumb opinion, then argue against it. Show that you have a superior opinion by showing that you can defeat that kind of mentality in a debate. However, I agree with you.
You do agree with me.
I agree with you to this extent. I saw this coming. I saw it in 2008. I saw it in 2004. I could see this coming down the line with the Republicans in 2004 when they were still caught up in, well, the gays. Do we want gays? Do we not want gays? Do we want gays? When they were still fooling around, they don't know which direction this country's going. The Republican Party represents a backward-thinking part of America on certain issues. Not all. On social issues, they're all wrong. They're all wrong. And that's why when you get into the issue of women in the workplace, women as members of a workforce, as members of the executive or the working class, whatever you want to call it, what is their place? And you say, well, let's go check the binders. They still have women in binders. They have them in their own filing cabinet. They've got them in their own...
What about men? They still have the same thing of men.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't, man. Well, I bet you anything, Romney, I got to say, give me the binders on the men so I can find out who the men are.
Well, I mean, that's a good point, you know, but he's not going to say, let me see the binders on men because there's not a men's issue, per se.
Well, all right. If I was to believe a lot of these clowns that I listen to who say, well, men are being, men are being marginalized and men are now the minority and men are this and men are that, then I would say to them, well, now you show me, okay, the company or the presidential candidate, for that matter, who has binders. Let me go reference my men binder to see how many men are qualified for the job, because I just can't find them, you know. I'm looking for men's resumes, and I just can't find the men that are qualified.
Yeah, that's because every man is qualified.
Every man is qualified, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Then if every man is qualified and we don't need the binders, why do women have to be in binders?
Yeah, he got you, man. No, he didn't. Yeah, he did. No, he didn't.
No, hold on. If the men, I don't have to put the men in the binders, why do I got to put the women in the binders?
Because their women are equal.
Then why are they in binders?
Because men are in binders.
No, they're not, man. You just said no, they're not. If I say I'm looking for some qualified people, I know we need some men. Get me the binder with the men's names. There's no such thing.
That's because there's more,
more what?
There's more men than women. There's not more men than women, but there's more men than women in a work.
Oh, well, that's really good. So there's more men than women in the workforce, but there's not more than men than women in the...
Yeah, you hold on for a minute. I'll say it. There's not more than men in the workplace, but there's not more than women in the workplace. What?
Hold on for a minute, will you? Bud, if there's more women on this planet and in this country than there are men... There are more men in the workforce. I understand some of that can be attributed to the traditional roles that we have played. However, we still have more women, and we still should be able to refer to women in the workforce or in the workplace or women as a workforce in terms beyond binders. Oh, let me find a women in the binder thing. You get it?
No. And there's nothing you can say to make me see it.
You're an idiot.
Oh, yeah, she's reduced to call me a name.
All right, well, we're done with this topic, okay?
Why, because Daddy said so?
Yes, because Daddy said so. I don't want to talk about this crap anymore, but I will tell you this. I just agreed with you. Why are you making fun of me?
Because she's a backstabber.
I'm not a backstabber, you lousy dwarf.
See, she just used a term.
Margaret, that was really...
He pushed me to it.
And he's not a dwarf. All right,
Midget.
He's not a midget. What the hell's your story?
She's using racially bad terms.
That's not racial.
All right, just be quiet. I agree with you. I agree with you. And Romney has, as many people have claimed, Romney has a good mind for the economic terrain. He can discuss, debate, and otherwise mix it up with the best of us when it comes to how he feels the economy should be turned about and things that should be implemented. Okay, that's fine. But like so many people in that party, the minute the discussion comes around to race, gender, these kinds of issues, they suddenly sound like they haven't gotten out of the fifth grade. And I'm telling you, I've heard it a million times. You can talk about some of the best minds on the conservative side of things, and you may not agree, but let's just talk about, or if not even the best minds, the most prominent people. Talk about Rush, talk about Romney, talk about anybody, man. Probably the smartest guy that I've ever heard on the conservative side when it comes to discussing the social stuff, and he still sounds stupid, is Charles, what's the guy's name?
Krautenheimer.
Yeah, Krautenheimer.
Charles Krautenheimer? What are you talking about?
Charles Krauthammer, even I know.
Charles Krauthammer, yeah. Now that guy, when he gets on that show on Fox, he sounds almost literate. I mean, he's a very, very smart man. But again, when you get into these social issues, most of those cats sound really dumb. And Krauthammer, as smart as he is, he sounds smarter than any of these other guys, but he still sounds like he's in terrain that he's not comfortable with. And that's what it sounds like to me, that they just aren't comfortable talking about this stuff. So,
well, what about Geraldine Ferraro when you said that she was race baiting?
Race baiting?
When she said what?
No, Geraldine Ferraro, that was way back. I don't want to talk about it. When she said that he's black.
Yeah.
She was stupid, too. Okay, let's take a break and come back with our final thoughts, if you want to call them that, here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show for this marvelous Friday morning. Oh, thank God, Friday morning. Friday on my mind, baby. We ought to play that song or something.
It ain't Friday yet.
Yeah, but if we play it at the end of tomorrow night's show, it'll be Saturday morning.
We'll play Saturday on my mind. Do they have a song called that?
No, they do not.
What about come Saturday morning? Oh, I love that.
No, okay, well, we'll see. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Truth
Where
is
Ben
bitch.
Applebee by a company?
The Phil Henry
yes.
Show.
I want to sing come Saturday.
This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Hi, and welcome back. Did this story just break, Dan? Let's see. George McGovern, George McGovern is now in hospice care. That is, he is, as you know, hospice care. He's being taken care of because he's in the last stages of his life. And the senator's family has said that he is, quote, nearing the end. And McGovern is in a lot of ways the end of an era for a lot of people my age, because he is my dad's generation. He's our parents' generation. He is the grandparents of a lot of you guys listening generation. He was moved to a Sioux Falls hospice Monday, no longer responsive, and was nearing the end, said family members. A statement released by the McGovern family said the senator remains at the Doherty Hospice House and is surrounded by family and close friends. The family would like to thank everyone for the care and the compassion shown during this time. Ann McGovern told the Associated Press on Wednesday that her 90-year-old father is nearing the end and appears restful and peaceful. She said the family gathering has allowed for a mysterious, beautiful experience.
What's that mean?
Well, it's, you know, it's something only the family. It's a, I don't know, you know, you're seeing your father, your grandfather, you're seeing somebody go. It's their language. Let's respect it, you know. As people plan remembrances of Senator McGovern, the family encourages donations to Feeding South Dakota, said the statement. Now, George McGovern, when I say he was my father's generation, there's a really... First of all, we all know George McGovern as the guy that ran against Nixon in 72. And we all know George McGovern as an anti-Vietnam War candidate. George McGovern, you might say, was a part of the first generation of Democratic candidates, Democratic Party members, Democratic Party office holders, who sort of began there seems to be this generational tradition in the Democratic Party to be the anti-war party. Well, it started really with Vietnam. And McGovern was part of that prominent generation. There was Eugene McCarthy, Robert Kennedy. A lot of these names you know. Less well-known names were also a part of that. Some of them were Republican, but most are what we call progressive Republican. Most were Democrats. McGovern is interesting for the following reason. He was a World War II veteran, as were a lot of those men. And the World War II vets were not all automatically pro-Vietnam War. Just as, for instance, the Gulf War vets may not, or the Vietnam War vets may not have all been automatically pro-Iraq War. The difference is this. The difference is this. World War II was a just war in the minds of most people. In fact, every generation since looks back on that war as saying, in Studs Terkel's words, the last good war or the good war.
Who?
Stud Terkel. I said Studs.
Well, no, you said Stud Sterkel.
Stud Terkel.
Stud Sterkel.
I'm going to get pissed off here in about 5 seconds.
You said Studs Terkel. Nobody else done said that.
You did, Phil. You said Studs. No, you didn't. He said Stu. No, you didn't.
I didn't say Stu. I know that.
You said Stu Sterkel.
I did not say Stu Sterkel. I said...
He's going to cry. He's going to cry.
I'm not crying. The last good war. So now you had the last good war. You got all these veterans saying, nah, I don't want my son going to that war. No, that Vietnam War. I know, because my dad was one of them. George McGovern was another one. McGovern flew 35 B-25 missions over Germany. He saved the life of his crew on one of those missions, earning the Distinguished Flying Cross by landing his aircraft safely after it had been damaged by a German anti-aircraft fire. So George McGovern, whether he talked like this or not, he had all kinds of stud credentials, and he was definitely a warrior. But when it came time to that particular point in his life, he said, no, the Vietnam War is a wrong thing. And there were a lot of men like that, some of them are fathers, who said, I don't want my son going off to that. And if you older people, you remember Bruce Springsteen actually did a rap on stage where he remembers what his father said to him when first his dad wanted him to go in the military to straighten his ass out, to cut his long hair, to make him less of a hippie, to make him more of an American, to teach him values, to teach his long hair hippie guitar playing son what it means to be an American, only to say to his son when he finds out that the draft will not take him, he says to him, I'm glad. I'm glad that you're not going. So that's not a negative comment on America. I'm just talking about a particular kind of guy, a particular kind of generational, a man that we all knew. He was our dad, some of us, and he was our grandfather, and he was not necessarily a gung-ho warrior ready to send everybody off to war. McGovern was one of those guys.
Well, you're not putting down the other kind.
No, I'm not. I'm not saying the Nixon generation, and there are all kinds of guys, and there are all kinds of people that... But McGovern was one of those guys. McGovern was against the war. He ran against Nixon. He got his ass handed to him, just his ass kicked. Because, frankly, the American people don't want to go out of any war a loser. And that was the feeling that if a Democrat got elected, we were going to be walking out of a theater of war as a bunch of losers. As it is, we got out of Vietnam, but, you know, the country was lost. George McGovern tonight is on death's door. He served his state. South Dakota. He went on to be a senator of great achievement. He ran for president and became a spokesman, an international spokesman for so many issues. His former U.S. Senate colleague and 1996 presidential candidate Robert Dole collaborated on hunger relief programs beginning in the 1970s. They were honored in 2008 with the World Food Prize for their efforts to combat hunger. In 2000, they formed the George McGovern Robert Dole International Food for Education and Nutrition Program. And by the time they received the World Food Prize, their worldwide school lunch program was estimated to be feeding 22 million students in 41 countries. How about that? George McGovern and Robert Dole. So, I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with the rest of these bastards, you know, but there's a Republican and a Democrat.
Yeah, both those guys are in World War II.
Yes, they were. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, very patriotic, Phil. Yay.
Well, don't be a smartass.
I'm not being a smartass. This is very good. Robert?
Yay!
All right, the world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Phil Henry and Dan Northcraft. Don't forget to join us online at philhenryshow.com for a backstage pass. And you can enjoy all of the neat stuff and everything that we have for you at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Until tonight at 10, let that be a lesson to you. 10 o'clock Pacific.
Yeah, you always forget to say that.
All right, so I said it. Not, you didn't say it soon enough.
Oh, shut up.
No, I'm not going to shut up.
Shut up?
No, I won't shut up.
Shut up. Phil Henry.